6 o'clock, and we want to welcome all of you to City Council meeting this evening. We looks like we have a couple of our City Councilmen that are not going to be able to be here tonight. I know Micah said he had another commitment he had to be to, and Darren, I believe, is not feeling well, so it's just us. We're going to begin with the invocation and pledge of allegiance, and you have that on spot?
Yeah, I do. Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity to be here at City Council tonight under the favorable circumstances that we all have a chance to be able to enjoy. We pray that Thy Spirit may be with us and guide us in the decisions that we make, and that we may be able to keep those folks' interests in mind that we have a chance to be able to represent tonight. We're thankful for all the many blessings that we have and in our lives, and have an opportunity to be able to enjoy and say the things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Scott. First, on the agenda tonight, we have a report from the Hurricane Valley Fire Department. Nick, do you want to take a minute and tell us what's going on there?
Yes. So, just a quick report on calls and statistics for the department. We respond on 474 calls throughout the entire district. In Laverkin, there was 47 total calls for the fire department, which is down usually about half the calls of what we go on. Of those 47 calls, 24 were EMS calls, 5 of them were fire calls, and 18 were other hazards that we responded on. Interesting for the fire calls, and this is something I wanted to bring to your attention, was 2 of them were actually structure fires that we responded on in the hurricane. And both of those structure fires were caused by individual burning leaves, you know, next to the structure. So it does, one of them for sure does meet the statute for reckless burning. Neither one of them received a citation. One of them does meet the statute for reckless burning. The other one probably would, but it only damaged his property. The first one did damage other people's property. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And if wanted, we could pursue citations and so forth in the future. But just wanted to bring that to your attention. So, and the burn window has been closed. This year it closed early. It normally goes until about generally end of April, maybe the first of May. It closed at the end of March this year because of dry conditions and just, you know, enough moisture during some part of the winter time. So. And you want me to report on the CWS agreement, the Cooperative Wildland Systems?
Yes.
Okay. So just kind of, I'm not sure how much detail you want me to get into, but previous, the fire district was able to enter into that agreement with the state. The way it's written now is each municipality and county has to enter into that, has to sign that agreement. And what it does is essentially, you sign that agreement if there is a major fire within the area. It's an agreement with the state. The state agrees to pay for that as long as we fulfill the responsibilities of that agreement, which would be part of that would be the fire district would do some mitigation work within the entire district. We've been doing for years now. The only change to this agreement, I guess, is that each municipality has to enter into that agreement. And if you choose not to enter into that agreement with the state, then essentially if there were fire, you would be responsible for all the costs associated with it.
It would be wise for us to pass this tonight.
I think it would be.
I think the agreement also requires that we maintain some minimum wildland fire training standards.
Yes.
Do we already do that?
We do that, yeah. We meet
Did we not just promote somebody into that, into a position within that?
Within our district?
Yeah.
Kind of. We have a separate division for Wildland, the Wildland division. And their purpose is to take care of fires and do the mitigation work within the district, but also we do send mail to this, you know, other states and other places as needed, as called for. And it does bring in a pretty good amount of revenue for us when they go out of state.
Now, are we going to get some extra tax money now with the, what's been passed by the state, so that we're thinking maybe the property taxes might go down as far as our district is concerned? Is that correct?
As far as I know, yes, they should go down. But things can happen.
Yeah, I know when they go up, it's hardly ever go down.
Right, I know.
And that was kind of what we were shooting for.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from the council?
No, do you ever do any mitigation on private land?
Yes, it includes private land, everything within the district area, within the district boundary. And it's assessed off of the WUI code, the wildland urban interface. The red areas, generally try and concentrate on that, but we also do.
Have you recently upgraded your maps at all? Or?
So that is up to the state. We don't update them at all. And the way they have it, and it just barely happened this past year, it's kind of a mess right now. And so there's a lot of red areas.
That's all
the state is working on it. Yes.
Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Thanks, Nick. Next, we have Sean from Mosquito Abatement. I appreciate you coming tonight and reporting to us.
Of course. Thank you, Mayor. It's always a pleasure to be here. I think it was just a year ago I was here, but a few new faces, so this is kind of fun.
All three of them are new.
Yeah, I know. This is nuts. This is great. So I'll just kind of give you a little brief update, mostly on here, because you may have questions and areas that you can point us to that we may not be looking at, but I got a few things. Were you guys able to get the document?
I got the document. There's four documents you sent. Yeah, I just don't know. I've got them here ready to go up. I just don't know which one.
Anyway, you put up, we'll put that. While he's bringing any of that up, I've got just, we were created in 2002 through a vote of the people, and our district includes all of Washington County. So we collect property tax as our only source of revenue, and I think we try to do a pretty good job utilizing those funds, and we haven't raised taxes since, at least since I've been manager of the district. Don't intend to, because we do get, as growth comes in, we do get that increase according to the growth, and we've had a lot of growth. So it's been good that way, but we do cover a large area, and we do a lot of work, and we just try to focus our resources as best we can. Mosquitoes have been quite a problem in the past, and a lot of people go, well, I haven't seen mosquitoes in 25 years now. Well, we're doing our job, aren't we?
Good job.
So it's been pretty good, especially here in Leverkin. I know last year we had a little bit of outbreak. Just somebody had a leaky valve or leaky pipe, and it created a big problem, and we had no idea about it until we did. And once we did, we took care of it pretty quick. So, but it was nice because it was our last board member's right next to his place. So he let us know pretty quick. He knew who to call. So it's kind of like one of the reasons we like to come to these meetings is just to let people know that we do exist. We are there to help out. One thing that's really been helping us educate the public is an invasive species. I didn't send these out, but I'll just kind of hand these. Pass those down. And this one over here and one over here. These are our Aedes aegypti mosquitoes. They are a urban mosquito, so they love to feed on humans, and they love backyards. They love plant pots, ornamental ponds, any any cryptic area that they can find, they will lay their eggs there, they will breed there, and then they will come in your house and they'll bite you as many times as they feel like they want to. They'll bite as much as 12 different times for one blood. So they're pretty bad, and since they are new to the area, most people don't have an immunity built up to it, so they end up being pretty bad bites and pretty bad reactions to them. So we are looking for these in this area. We have not found any in Laverkin, but last year they made it as far as Hurricane now. So, but down in St. George, they're pretty much established now after a couple of seasons of seeing them crop up. So we created a whole team specifically just to hunt these ones down. If we could eradicate this specific species, we would work on it. The rest of them, it's a matter of control, because the areas are too big, there's too many spots that we can't get to. So it's a little bit of more of a challenge with other species. But these ones, since they are new, we'd like to try to get rid of them. The only way to do that is to know that they're there, and then we come and inspect the yard, and then we end up inspecting all the yards around them. If we still can't find the source, we continue our radius around there. So it's quite tedious, and it takes a lot of time and resources, but it's definitely worth getting rid of these as best we can. Let's see. So we do have a couple of documents. There's a state of the district. You guys have a copy of that. This just shows a little bit about what we've done over the last couple of years. Mostly just last year of improvements and then some of the things we want to do. I'm not going to talk a lot about that because you can look at that later. This is our mosquito distribution chart. This was for last year, the mosquitoes that we were able to trap. These are adult mosquitoes. Most of our efforts are on the larval mosquitoes. So we find the water, we treat them there. If they hatch out, then we try to trap them and track them, or do our surveillance through the mosquitoes as well. The numbers get too high, then we do some fogging events, but usually those are very localized. We call it spot fogging. We don't use the truck much anymore. I think we used it once last year. We only sprayed about 8 gallons worth of product, and each ounce of that covers at least an acre. So it's very... very little amount goes a long ways, but mosquitoes go a long ways too. So we want to get them in the larval form. As you can see for Laverkin, we only have one trap site. It's down in Confluence Park. We've kind of moved that around a little bit down there, a little bit by the treatment center, and then down actually in the park on some of those irrigated pastures and fields. They can get pretty bad. A couple of years ago, they were really bad. Once we found that was happening, we were able to treat it. And now, as you can see, we kept the numbers way down, less than 400 for all of last year. So that was 26, 28 trapping dates. And so we were able to do a pretty good job. I think it was about 4 or 5 times more than that last year because a few of those times we just didn't even know it was there and then weren't able to take care of it until we were able to survey it and then treat it. So that's pretty good. So I did bring a couple of maps. These just showcase a little bit of the areas that we cover. In your particular area, if there's something that's not there and you know where some standing water is, we just need to know about that. One thing in particular that we're looking for that we don't know about is new development usually comes with storm drain. Storm drains are perfect habitat for mosquitoes. Not the Aegypti kind, but the other species that we have in the area. So as you guys are developing and you know that there's going to be storm drains, just let your board member know. They can let us know that those are going in. And we can try to start at least surveying that area. Not all new storm drains have mosquitoes, because they have to find it and then establish themselves. But if we can stay ahead of it, that would be helpful. Awesome. All right, and then this is just a map of the overall of Laverkin. So we do cover quite a bit of area.
I've got a little pond at my house.
Great questions and comments.
And it's sometimes I see the mosquito larvae in there and I just Clorox them. They die. But
and that works.
Is there something better to use for something like that?
No, those actually, a little bit of bleach goes a long way, so that will take care of it. Also, the sun will dissipate that out of the water after a while, so it's, you know, it's good, it doesn't hurt it. Some people like to use some vegetable oil, but usually that clumps together and doesn't spread out very well. We have a surfactant that we use that is just a, like a microfilm over the top of the water, and it keeps the larvae from breathing. And so, because they can't stay at the top of the water, and so therefore they can't breathe and they just drown. So it's pretty effective. We also use some growth regulators that are very specific to mosquitoes, but mostly we use bacteria that's very specific to mosquitoes. It only develops in their gut at the specific pH that they have. So it's pretty unique, the products that they've come up with. There's We don't get to use DDT anymore, so we got to use other things. So.
I know we have, you know, recently more detention ponds and some of the developments and stuff. Are those the breeding grounds for them also?
Yes. We usually will mark those as heavy rain sites. So as rain comes in, then those will catch the water and then it will stay there for usually a week at a time or so. If there's enough water there, and then those will be perfect breeding grounds. So as those are developed too, let us know about those so we can keep an eye on them, but usually there's no water in them. Mm-hmm. So it's just that heavy rain after heavy rain. Then we end up increasing the amount of sites we need to look at by about 3 times. So it gets really busy after a rainstorm. We don't have too many rainstorms, so we're okay. Awesome. Any other questions? Comments?
Other questions? Okay.
Yes, so please, if you know of any other spots or areas or you get bitten or you see these little black and white mosquitoes around, please let us know. Because you guys are the eyes and ears of our small crew that we have.
Derek, on our standard drawings, do we pour concrete in the bottom of inlet boxes up to the flow line of storm drain?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm sure that helps with
trying
to be able to keep the water from being trapped at the bottom.
Yeah, I've noticed. There's a couple of storm drains we still do treat. They might have been older ones. But yeah, that helps. If there's dirt in there, if there's cement. So perfect. Thank you. Awesome.
Okay, thanks, Sean. Appreciate you coming.
Excuse me, I got another meeting.
Okay, thank you. next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. We can just have a single motion unless there's some discussion with items on the agenda.
Mayor, I'll motion we approve the consent agenda, including declaration of conflict of interest, the agenda, meeting minutes of April 1, 2026, April 15, 2026, and checks and invoice in the amount of $407,674.25.
We have a second.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I have 2 seconds. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Okay. The next item is a public hearing. This is for the adoption of the parameters for the resolution 2026-08 authorizing the issuance of water revenue bonds. Before we do that, Faye, do you want to kind of explain to us?
Yeah, we have to do that.
A little bit about
actually,
that.
Actually, in your packet, we included a little explanation of what a parameters resolution is. I don't get a chance to look at that. Mm-hmm. But basically, what it's saying, a parameters resolution is saying we have this project. We intend to move forward with it. It's going to be paid by the issuance of bonds. And we're going to authorize the mayor to take all action necessary to approve everything at the lowest possible rate. And then we approve this parameters resolution for a maximum amount. In other words, it sets, the maximum amount that we're willing to issue our bonds for. And that's really all it is. It's going to have to be later on, there's going to be a public hearing. There's going to have to be later on a master resolution adopted by the city. So this by no means locks us into anything.
This is for the lead and copper project?
Yes, sir.
And we had secured 70% forgiveness of the cost of that project. We would be paying back 30% of it. It's a federally mandated, and there's federal money on the project, and so there's just a ton of things we have to comply with when we're using federal money, and sometimes it's not worth getting the money from them, but they're requiring us to do it, so we have to do it. So, any questions with what needs to be done? Okay, we're going to open it to the public for any questions or comments from the public as far as the adoption of the parameters resolution. Any comments from the public? No comments from the public. We'll close the public hearing then. Business, first item we have is consideration of possible action to approve the cooperative agreement with the Utah Division of Forestry, Fire and State Land. This is what Nick has talked to us about. So any other questions about that? We'll entertain a motion to approve this.
I'll make a motion to approve the cooperative agreement with Utah Division of Forestry, Fire, and State Lands.
And do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Next item is consideration of possible action to approve Resolution 2026-08, resolution adopting the parameters for the issuance of water revenue bonds for Little Rock City. Any other comments or questions about that?
Can you just give us a recap again on securing the lower rates that you did, and maybe just the history of that?
First, we went to the state to apply for the money for it. They offered us a 50-50 loan. We told them at the time we thought we were going to get 100% loan because it was a federally mandated project.
100% grant.
100% grant, yes. And that kind of took them by surprise, and they suggested maybe let's accept the 50-50 and we could come back to them. And so we did. We came back to them, and they completed our case again, and they committed to do a 70% forgiveness and a 30% loan for this project. And and it's, 2% over 30 years?
30 years, and it's $2.25 million, I believe. So we end up borrowing, I think, or we're going to have a loan of 2% for just under $600,000.
For 30 years.
It's going to save the city $700,000-$800,000 just by making the trip up there and asking.
So that's pretty much what it is.
So a federally mandated program that really by asking the question you ended up saving $700,000 really by making the trip up there.
Yeah, we went up twice.
Seemed like it's worth it.
It was well worth it. But we're ready. I think the engineers already got the plans and everything ready to go. So as soon as we complete all of the paperwork we need to, they can put it out to bid.
Yeah, we're just jumping through the hoop right now that the state's making us, and this is where we've contracted with Chamberlain and Associates out of Richfield. They're our bond counsel, and she keeps us up to date on what everything that we need to be doing, and this is our first step. We'll tell them more stuff coming through.
What are we looking at time-wise in order to even put it out for bid?
Put it out to bid.
Mm-hmm.
Once we get through all of this, then we're ready to go. We were going to wait to try to link with one of the other two projects, but we decided not probably wasn't the best bet.
Yeah.
So as soon as we get through this, then we can come before you guys to authorize the project and go out to bid.
You know, the timing on that too, I was in a meeting today with all the other cities about projects that were going out there, and many of the projects right now that are being put out to bid are coming under the estimate of the
engineer's estimate.
Mm-hmm. So the market right now, knock on wood, is pretty favorable for the city.
Okay. Any other questions about anything else? Okay. Entertain a motion then to consider resolution 2026-08.
Mayor, I'll make a motion.
Oh, is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-08, a resolution adopting the parameters of the issuance of water revenue bonds of the City of Laverne.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. John?
Yes.
Amanda?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Okay, next item is consideration of possible action to set a public hearing for May 20th regarding resolution 2026-09, a resolution declaring certain property to be surplus property and approving a disposition by public or private sale. Do you want to take a minute, Derek, on what we're trying to get rid of?
Yeah, so in fact, we have a list of we're getting rid of a dump truck, a grader, our Ford bucket truck, our utility drive, and our Bobcat. Those combined have an average year of 31 years old. So they're older pieces of equipment that are starting to cost a lot to maintain. So we felt it was in the best interest of everybody to surplus them, and as you have allowed to upgrade our equipment, that's made it possible so we can start to get rid of some of these older pieces of equipment. And, you know, for the main purpose of saving maintenance money, which we've seen quite a bit of savings over the last couple of years. So, like I said, these are quite old, some up to 40 years old. And so, been well used. So we want to get a public hearing set so we can get these surplus out. We didn't put any bond or any money amount to any particular one. We have done in the past, but we didn't do it on this one, and we didn't ask for put any detail of if it needed to be a sealed bid or how the bid needed to come in, which we can figure out, or just doesn't matter as long as the numbers get filled.
Looks like that dump truck didn't even have an engine in it, is that right?
Yeah, we stole the engine out of that one to put in our other dump truck. It's actually more of a salvage piece. We just need to surplus it so we can get rid of it. Unless somebody wants to just drag it around.
Yeah, I always wanted a dump truck.
A few.
Saving my money for the Bobcat.
Okay, well, any discussion or questions from the council? Okay. Then entertain a motion to approve resolution 2026-09.
Well, let me ask you a question, Derek. Are all we doing here tonight is setting a public hearing?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Have a public hearing.
Let's see. Yeah, we're not looking at the wrong. Oh. So we just need to set a public hearing for that resolution, right?
Yeah. You're right.
Okay. So we need a motion to set the public hearing for May 20th.
Mayor, I'll make a motion that we set a public hearing for May 20th, 2026, regarding resolution number 2026-09. The resolution declaring certain property to be surplus property and approving a disposition by public or private sale.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay, thank you. Next we have consideration and possible action to approve ordinance 2026-12, amending the mixed use zone. Derek?
I just need to know, keep brief. So, with this development, the whole entire bottom floor of the mixed use has to be a commercial floor. The bottom floor, basically from the bottom floor to the ceiling on the first floor, has to be at least 15 feet high. 75% of the total floor area of the development can be developed as residential. 25% of the total floor area of the development shall be developed as commercial. Structures on a walk cannot exceed 70% of the total area, which is another safeguard we did so we didn't end up with what we have down at this other situation right here. Residential allowances are condominiums, apartments, and they must be associated with, again, with the bottom floor commercial component. Prohibited uses, the planning commission is going with vacation rental. And we've been working on this for almost 2 years now, and we do have a project that's been waiting for this for probably a year. The hotel across the street from Farmers to the North. So those are the kind of key components of what you have in your package.
Okay, do we have any discussion or question from the council?
I just kind of had a little thought. So if we have, and I might just be, can't get this wrapped in my head, but if there's an apartment complex, then they have to have a management office. So it says rental apartment complexes require the construction of a dedicated staff management office. Would that be considered the commercial, or is it like
no.
apartment complex with
no,
a couple
that's
shops?
Part
around?
Residential.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's what they're there to control, the residential aspect of mixed
use. Is there any questions?
Nope.
Okay. Everybody's good with that? I'll entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-10, amending the mixed-use zone.
Because that's 12, isn't it?
Should be 10.
That's
12?
Yep. All right.
It says 10 on the agenda.
Sorry about that.
Well, this agenda is...
the new one that was on your desk.
Gotcha.
Oh, gotcha.
I see where we're at. Okay, let me revise that. Let's make a motion to approve Ordinance Number 2026-12, amending the mixed-use zone.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Next we have consideration of possible action to approve Ordinance 2026-13. An ordinance creating the HDR-11 High Density Residential Zone. Derek, do you want to?
Yes, sir. So this originally went to public hearing at HDR-14 High Density Residential. Planning Commission did not feel good about the density, so they actually lowered it to an HDR-11. And the allowances are multifamily housing, apartments, condominiums, and townhomes. Height cannot exceed 30 feet, that's 30 feet of occupiable space. There's an additional allowance for roof lines and things that are non-occupiable. And then they put a lot of, it requires amenities. Amenities are, I think, somewhat listed in there. And there was a lot of attention paid to open space requirements. So for every 200 square feet of active open space, 100 square feet private patio, so that's every apartment on the exterior can have to have their own little 100 square feet of open space. And 100 square feet shall be provided in a common recreational, and that would be per unit. So that, you know, the more units you have, of course, the larger the required common space is. But they put a lot of this because the height was actually up to 4 stories, I believe, so they dropped it down to 3 stories. And our expectations are just like with the MDR that we brought before you, MDR-8, the medium density residential that you guys approved last time. So a lot of these are being put in place for the house, for the top site. As the planning commission tries to get a jump on a lot of ordinances so that we just don't get ran over when the top site comes in. Not to say that somebody could put in for this down here, but that would have to go through planning commission, city council for approval through a zone change, and that would be your chance to decide whether or not that was a proper fit for down here. So,
any comments, Scott?
Makes sense.
Amanda?
I have a couple comments. One, there's just a sentence, or a little paragraph. It's on the first page. It says, "Whereas the city council finds high density residential development, when properly designed and regulated, can provide high quality living environments to contribute to the vitality of the community." I kind of feel like that's a fluff piece, and I don't feel like I can support that statement, but I recognize the need for this, so I just want to note it. I don't agree that it would contribute to the vitality of the community. There was another, just a excuse me, so on mixed use, so on, it's, let's see, in the modifying regulations under G, the lot coverage, so for this, it's the lot should not exceed 75%, the mixed use is 70%. Do you know the reason for like the difference, or would it be easier just to make, keep it the same, like 70% versus 75, or?
I see where you're at on the page, on the G, right?
Yeah.
Versus.
It was just kind of a numbers thing, like that since the mixed use is the 70% structures.
I mean, if that's what you want to do, you definitely do that. Okay. Make it more uniform than me.
I think it'd be easier to remember. And just out of curiosity, my last one was on O. Are they not doing individual trash bins and just having dumpsters for those communities?
Yeah, that's
or?
The way that the commercial properties are regulated. They don't want individual trash cans. It's all done by trash enclosures, and those are actually have to go to the Southwest Health Department for approval for the locations and the amount of dumpsters if the development that's going in. So there's not overflow problems, and they have access with the trash trucks coming in. So.
Okay. Yeah, and it makes sense. I was just kind of curious, like if it's like I was picturing like townhomes and stuff and that's in condos. So that makes sense.
John, do you have any questions, any comments? So
there was a lot of work that was done through zoning on this item, so I saw most of that come along.
Okay. If there's no other comments, entertain a motion. If you want to make some changes to that, now's the time to do it. So, Amanda, if you want to do the motion.
I'd really like to see the 70, the structures not exceed 70% of the total lot area. So I'll make a motion to approve this. What is this one? 2026-13, with the exception of G, and change the 75% to 70%.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. So I'll need to resign that one then, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. I usually sign things ahead of the meeting, and if there's changes, we redo them and I sign them again. So, anyway, so and that's what you're here for as the council members, is to make the changes that we need to make, which are in the best interest of the citizens of the community here. So, thank you. Next item is consideration and possible action to approve luxury RV resort. The luxury RV resort application requesting specified RV resort pads to be designated for extended use occupancy. We allowed them to do that. Is this the second year?
This is year two. Yeah.
This is year two. And in that, they were to come back to us each year for approval. And from what I understand, it's worked out really well. They followed through on all of the things we asked them to do, and they've given us the reports that we needed, told us when the people came in that stayed longer than 30 days, and when they left, and we have all of that documented, and they've been very good at doing what we asked them to do. So this is just to extend that again.
For one more year.
For another year. Are there any comments or questions about that? I know none of you were on the council when we did that, but the reason was is that when they first got started, they weren't getting as many people coming in, but there's more people that wanted to come and stay for, say, the winter. And so we allowed them to have, I think it was 22 sites out of the, how many?
21 sites.
21 sites.
Yeah, it goes from
October till the end of April, right?
Yeah, there's a 6 month time frame they can do.
Yeah. And but that was the limit of how many could just be there for the extended period of time. So, any comments or questions?
No, I remember the original agreement. I was attending on that.
Do you have any questions or comments?
I actually remember it pretty well. I've met some of the people that were staying there through the dog park and hurricane, and they were great people. I do have one question on her chief. Was there any increase in police calls or anything like that?
No.
All right.
Yep.
No. Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the application again.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the luxury RV resort application requesting specified RV resort pads to be designated for extended occupancy.
Do we have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Next item is update on the precise architectural plan checklist for River's Edge project. This is the Roos property at 254 South SR 9. Derek, do you want to take a minute on that?
I just want to read the statement so you understand the process to go through. This is a newly created, since we brought Brad on, or since you allowed us to bring Brad on for additional funding. Plan Act is our neutral person, which I think gives him a better view of things so that we can provide. So any individual seeking a commercial application begins the process by meeting with Brad during this initial consultation. Brad takes several important steps to ensure the applicant's request aligns with our regulations. First, he thoroughly reviews the proposed application to determine what falls within our designated permitted uses. Once that is established, he guides the applicant through the necessary requirements of the precise and architectural plans outlined in the specification needed for successful submission. Next, Brad ensures that the project meets essential compliance standards within our signed parking and setback requirements, along with other regulations. After meticulously reviewing these aspects, he compiles a comprehensive staff report that details his findings and recommendations. This report then is submitted to our team for further action, allowing us to effectively follow through on the project. By having Brad conduct a primary review, we aim to provide an impartial perspective that fosters consistency within our zoning allowances, making the process smooth for applicants and aligning their proposals with local regulations. So the Roos were the first ones we have taken through with this particular thing that they've provided, the report that we've provided with you. So the Roos, and you know where the property is, it's property just north of where CrossFit, the workout place is. So they have that existing building there, which they're then going to reconstruct. I should know the term, since I've been doing this for some years. They're going to remodel it, is the word I'm looking for. And it will actually have in it. And then, as you can see in the plans, you have the site layout, architectural design standards call for another 10. I think it's 5 on the north, 5 on the south. And you see the renderings that they've applied for. That makes a total of 23 units. The good thing Brad to do is to make sure that it's put in there that at the point in time the city decides that we're going to go to 10-foot sidewalks, which is what we're putting in our new standards for all commercial properties along 917, that they understand that we can't require them to do it at this point until we have that our standards called out. But they have to have understanding that whatever is being planned or put in that position, that the city's going to come through at some point in time, you know, and it may not ever happen, but at least we're saving that additional so that we can get the 10-foot sidewalk to keep the kids and pedestrians further away from the road since there's no shoulder.
Are they good with that?
Yeah.
The Roos? Okay.
Yeah. And then the landscaping, we're changing our landscaping code too, so it's not applicable to the times anymore, but Brad's been having them look at the dwellings, and you're aware of where the dwellings are, and to potentially start to kind of match that with similar ideas so that we can have some cohesiveness with that. So we kind of look the same going down through town. So that's basically what that is. And this didn't necessarily need to come before you, but we felt that it was a good thing for you to understand as they came along, things started to happen, you knew what was going on. It was, you know, guys would get shocked when things were happening. So.
So we don't need a motion or anything on this then?
Okay. Well, is that, are we going to see another precise plan when this is all set to go? Or?
For this one?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
No. Okay.
No. What we have in the packet, and I think, I don't know if the packet's in there, right?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of the standard of what we're anticipating happening.
Okay. And do any of you have any questions about what they're doing?
No, they're going to convert that one-story building to a two-story building?
No, we're going to convert it to, it's going to be one story, but we'll have 15 units.
Okay.
And by the time they get done remodeling it, and then eight new units are going to be five on the north and five on the south.
Yeah, like the tiny ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Next item is the update on the precise architectural plan checklist for the Canyon Ridge Homes at 151 West Center. That's where the big lawn is, right?
Yeah.
On Center Street?
9 and Center.
And that is going to be like a sales office, correct? With models for people to look at.
Yeah. Yeah. With the state pushing manufactured homes and that being the cheaper version of being able to have a home, this guy's going to come in and he's going to start out with two models right now as far as his funding and a sales office. We'll have to do with the hope that within a year he'll go into phase two, which I think is explained in your packet, and he'll have more units to choose from. Drivers requiring him, see phase one, two modular homes, the sales office. Access will be solely off of Center Street, nothing off of 9. He's required to asphalt coming in off of Center Street, 25 feet, and he'll pave all the areas where the manufactured homes sit and where the sales office sit, so that it's not on, we bypass the gravel yards anymore. And then he also was, he was also advised of the 10-foot requirement when we come down through there and of the landscaping requirement. And I know there's more things in that, but those were kind of highlighted areas. And this one, we were really grateful to Brad reviewed and did his thing. So, because I don't know what the new, that's all I got to say.
Okay. Any questions, comments about this one? Okay, and I guess that doesn't require any motion as well. So, and the next item is a discussion item as well on the ultra water efficiency standards. I know the water district would like us to adopt that. If we do adopt it, I think it should be adopted just for on top of the hill development up there. We all actually require the developers down here to put in the secondary irrigation, and so that would be counterproductive for what these ultra water efficiency standards are. And this is just for your information, and I know we've looked at it once before, but I just would like the council to go through it, and if you see anything that stands out to you that's not good or whatever, we can discuss them at a later date. If there's any comments now, we could do that as well too. But
my biggest deal with it is I don't want there to be an additional cost to the city to be able to regulate these things. Like as they start talking about having or not being able to have a water softener in your home or things like that. The last thing I'd like is something for Derek or Derek's staff to have to go and do it. And that seems like that has a chance. Most of the things made a lot of sense. Having the chance to be able to say folks didn't have a chance to be able to put in a water softener or something like that seems a little tedious. If there was ever a line to be drawn right there, that seems to be it for me.
Yeah.
The difficulty with policing that's going to be hard too, because they can buy the home and then
you can modify it and change it to whatever you want. And
water softener in.
Sure.
You would never own.
Yeah. And that's something that they realize it can happen, but as far as water usage, that's the main thing for it is that, and then This also, it would almost need to be for a total subdivision, not just spot places, you know, because it's going to go on the plat of the county.
Yes.
Because by accepting that as a developer, they do get a break on their impact fee. But it stays with that property even after it's sold to somebody, so they need to be aware of the fact that when they do sell it, it's very noticeable for the...
Is having an option for those reduced rates something that Interstate would be interested in as they move forward with building up like Cotton Hollow or anything else?
It doesn't apply to us, like it's only $4,000 per year. Much of a constricting.
Gotcha.
And it won't be down here on the bench.
It wouldn't be down here because anything down here that develops needs to put in the secondary irrigation and make that available for the citizens so that they don't use any culinary water to water outside the house. So
I know when we were in that meeting, Mayor, the policing it is going to be an issue.
An issue, it will be.
Because the only way that it'll really be an issue is, well, for one thing, if they use more water, then they're going to be penalized because the rate structure we have will penalize them as far as they'll pay for it. But that's going to be about the only way is we'll be able to know is when we see their usage, we'll either know they've got a leak or they're being naughty.
Yeah. Well, they're naughty, they pay for it.
Yeah.
And
but I think they could... If they continue to do that, then they can lose or be required to pay back that impact fee for savings that they will have gotten at first.
Yes.
But the water softener thing, you know, something like that, that's going to, I don't know how you're going to do that. You can have that on any time.
Yeah. Anyway, be thinking about that, read through it some more, and we'll probably have it up as an item to vote on in a future day. Last item on the agenda is consideration and possible action to approve two new members of the Planning Commission. What I'm proposing to you is Christian Harrison to take the place of Hugh Howard, who has tendered a letter of resignation. And then Amanda Pechtold to take Christian's place as an alternate to the Planning Commission. So, any comments or questions about these two individuals? Appreciate them offering to serve our community, and I think both of them will be good. I know Christian's pretty excited to be a member of the Planning Commission, and Amanda acted like she was quite excited too, so thank you for doing that. So we do need a motion for that, don't we? Thank you.
Yes, we do.
Entertain a motion to approve these two individuals.
Mayor, I'll make a motion to approve the newly appointed planning commissioners.
Okay, do we have a second?
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Next, we have Mayor and Council reports. I don't think I have anything. Do I have anything to report, Nancy? I don't have anything. Kyle, what do you have?
I was in a meeting today with the DCAC, and every time we have that over transportation, UDOT said that they've got the second design of the fencing, but they feel like there should be some action showing up there soon.
They have bid it out?
Yeah, the contract has been awarded, but they were waiting on supplies, and now I don't know what their definition of soon is, because that's the second month. They've said that it will happen soon. So the bathrooms at Juana's Park, we finished those. We thought we were getting ready to open them up, and before we opened them up, there was some vandalism. messed up a couple things. We are meeting with our camera people tomorrow because when we had the cameras on there originally, they were set for the, just the single doors that we had. Now there's four doors, so we didn't have any footage that we could identify who'd done that. So we're keeping them closed until we have those cameras put up. We discussed it with staffing, thought that would be the best method. Now, if there's special occasions, like I know the elementary kindergarten class went out there and did something, and they called ahead, and we opened them temporarily while they were there, and then we closed them again. But anyway, they're ready to go, other than people keep breaking things. I attended at Patty Wise's request the ribbon cutting for the Canyon Mural in St. George. Working City was a sponsor of one of the panels down there. Can't remember who our artist was, but they painted on the mural. I don't know if you want to go down there or not, but it's the regional trail. It's kind of behind the old post office down there on Riverside Drive. There's a 400-foot wall there that has different things painted on it. And we were representing that for our donation. The beginning of Summer Water Day is on Saturday, June 6th. We have July 4th and the 24th. There'll be a float for the city mayor and city council to be in there. And Will Burke and Durkin may make an attempt to be there. You guys will need to help him or her on and off. Just get them off pretty easy. Just push them. Get off real easy. Getting up might not be quite so easy. But, an update on the top side. I mentioned to the mayor, I hadn't heard anything. People from Arizona have fallen off. Now they have from Davis County, a company called GRENOVLE, Grenoble, is now under contract. They've been one of the groups that we're interested in up there, and so we'll find out more information. That's basically all we got. Sent out five seniors that qualified for the scholarship or put in for the scholarship. Decided that we'd give all five of them a scholarship. Captain Peckle's going to go to the next May 12th or somewhere, sometime around there. Hand those out. At some point, the kids will all notify the family of the kids, probably tomorrow or the next day, and invite them to come here, and then there'll be a little certificate the mayor can hand out and get a picture with them and stuff. So that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Faye?
Just one thing, just to let the council know, back in October, November of last year, an individual here in the city filed a claim against the city for damages he sustained working on the water pipe, which he claims wasn't properly turned off. He got injured. We sent that claim up to Utah Local Governments Trust, and they promptly denied the claim. So now the next step for them, which they have taken, is to file a complaint in the district court. So we sent that back up to Utah Local Governments Trust, just going to be handling the case. And just wanted you to be aware of that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
John?
I don't have anything tonight.
Okay. Amanda?
Well, I have excellent news for those of you who have gone to the local dump there in Washington. They are putting in an express lane, so on the weekends, if you're having to dump a whole bunch of stuff, you don't have to wait in the long line for 20, 30 minutes. We're getting a little booth, and it'll be brown, and it'll have an air conditioner. So it'll be less time waiting in line at the dump, which is excellent for those of you who make random trips to the dump. And that was at the last solid waste meeting that we talked about that. We went to the Utah League of Cities and Towns conference that they had a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, and met a whole bunch of people, and apparently Nancy and Kyle are the most popular people there. Everyone's like, oh, I know Nancy, oh, I know Kyle. So some guy named Mike and George and Paul, and I think all the Beatles, they were all saying, tell them we said hi. But it was an excellent conference. There was a lot of really good presentations, some really interesting stuff, and a lot of it wasn't necessarily, you know, about Leverkin, but it was just interesting. There was a whole fire special with the Forsyth fire and all sorts of good stuff, and that's about all I have.
Also on the dump, Virgin is closer.
It is.
And you don't have to wait in line.
And they're open Sundays.
Yeah.
Scott?
About that. Attended the fire district last month. There was quite literally nothing that happened. It was about a 10-minute meeting. And Ash Creek Special Service District, their big deal was an announcement of a public hearing, which many of you may have received in the mail, an approval of, it's just about a $7 million bond to be able to do a water line, or a sewer line that they have planned from Virgin down here to Confluence.
And Confluence Park is under the treatment plant, operational.
Operational, yeah, it's doing its job.
Yep.
Did you see the email from Mike Chandler about the possibility of him coming and or doing a work meeting and showing everybody the treatment plant for anybody on the city council?
I did. We were going to invite him to come and report to the council, but he's tied up for a while, so we may have him do that. And if the council would like to go through the plant, now it's operational. Pretty interesting. I know you went through, Scott.
I went through the ribbon cutting. I'd like to see it in full operation.
So if you're interested in that, we can set that up.
And last time I went, it was the early construction, so I would like to see it.
Okay. I'll be worried getting a drink out of the fountain. Oh. Just putting it out there.
I'm always down for a field trip. We'll do it.
Okay. Well, I'll get back to the council on that one. So. All right. Last item on the agenda is citizens' comment a request for future agenda items. No action will be taken on anything that is raised under this item, and it's reserved for citizens of Leverkin. I'll give you 3 minutes. So, anybody like to come up and comment to the council?
Howdy.
Welcome.
My name is Sean Green, and I've lived here in Leverkin for about 12 years on 700 North, the north end of town. And some of you may know me as the trail overseer for Leverkin Overlook. That's my hobby for the last 12 years, and trying to keep that trail in place. And I think Patty Wise has some signs on the report, so maybe that'll actually happen this year. Personally, I enjoy hiking and biking trails around here, and routinely I bike to Confluence Park, and it's about a 6-mile loop from my home, and something I do enjoy doing. What I want to comment is the new trail being constructed on the north end of town. I'm going to comment on what I'm going to call the big black block wall that's being constructed there, and I haven't been able to interact with Patty Wise so much. I know she's been busy over the last month or so. But she did let me know that the wall is being constructed by Interstate Rock, and it's being constructed on their property, and for the purpose of providing a visual barrier for the potential trail users and hikers that will be on that trail. From my point of view, the wall that they're building is over 8 feet tall, so it's taller than the entryway to where we are standing right now. So for those of us who enjoy the lovely views of Leverkin, as you use that trail, guess what? You're not going to see anything to the north or the west because there's an 8-foot tall wall. So I'm concerned personally, but I also feel for the people on 700 North. So imagine stepping out of your house, and if your house faces the trail, guess what? You're not going to see that view anymore. You're going to see a 8-foot black wall. So anyway, I don't know if you guys have any connections with Interstate Rock, or maybe it's too late. The wall's been under construction off and on for the last 3 months, but clearly they're back at it, trying to make it happen. And so my suggestion is not to build a wall, but maybe make the wall, you know, 5 feet tall instead of 8 feet tall. And there's an example of that on the Main Street going north of what they built on the west side of the existing trail that's already been paved along where there used to be a sidewalk. So that's a good example of what a 5 foot wall would look like versus a wall that you can't see over. I think it would provide some privacy for the homes down below, but also allow people who are going to be using that trail to actually have a view as opposed to cycling or biking through the what I'm going to call the black tunnel.
Okay.
And but it's happening right now, and I don't know if anyone has any interactions with Interstate Rock.
You're sitting by a person that might have some something there. She's with.
Sorry about that. Yeah. So anyway,
visit with Amanda. She can maybe.
But I do sense that the wall construction is rolling now, and I don't have understanding how far the 8 foot wall is going to go.
There are some regulations as far as 8 foot and 6 foot walls and stuff like
well,
that.
Well, remember this is part of the contract that we have with Bo and Tyson in order to purchase the property for the trail.
Yeah.
So unless we agree to what's going in there, that trail wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
So, and that trail, I'm cautiously, I don't know that there, I've been up there and I've seen it and I've been on the property above. I don't think it's really blocking anybody that lives on 700 North to see what's going above them.
Well,
so you're
right until the wall's finished and then
well,
they may have some different.
No, I actually won't. The wall's going to end way before it gets to the park. So basically.
Oh, look, I mean, literally, they're knocking on the door. I mean,
that's as far as it's going to go.
Well, that's it.
It's not as.
Okay, that answers the question.
It's not Interstate Rock that's doing the wall. It's Mason individual that we hired.
Oh, so
we
build
a contract or obligation we have.
Oh, okay.
So if we wouldn't have put the wall up, you wouldn't have the trail. So that's kind of where that's at.
Okay, and literally, it's going to stop before it gets to the park?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, because they have some base rock or base blocks.
Well, that's just to maintain the trail.
Yeah, okay, well, that's, I guess my comment is, okay. Irrelevant if that's the story. It would make sense to build a wall. There's probably some privacy down below for the folks.
Yeah, those two didn't want hikers and bikers looking in on their yards, and so
that
was part of their request.
And I know the trail is going to continue on, and I was just concerned about the rock wall going down for.
No, it's not going to go
for a half mile.
Yeah.
Me.
Okay. Well,
thanks for your comment.
Thanks for answering my question.
Got the answer.
All right.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment? No other comments? Debbie? No? Okay. We stand adjourned then. Thank you for coming, everybody.